Tunggulah aku sebentar di sini.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to the English service of Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. This is Rahma on the mic, who will be presenting you various updates, information, programs, music, everything's taking you closer to Indonesia. From the news, we'll be continuing with quotes of the day. And also we have interesting programs such as Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Indonesian, and Music Corner. So stay tuned on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and also shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. But first, as always, let's begin with the news. This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Minister Agus Harimurti calls for a different path to sustainability, focusing on food, water, and energy. Indonesia ready to lead the global energy transition. I'm Rahmawati. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister for Coordinating Infrastructure and Regional Development, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, asserted sustainable development must not sacrifice economic progress and vice versa. He emphasized that developing nations like Indonesia must forge their own unique path to a sustainable future rather than replicating models from the global north. Desi Anugranov has the details.
The Minister for Coordinating Infrastructure and Regional Development, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, emphasized that the sustainable development agenda must not come at the expense of economic development and vice versa, but must go hand in hand. This statement was delivered in his keynote speech at the International Sustainability Forum 2025 held in Jakarta Friday. Agus Harimurti highlighted the need for developing countries, including Indonesia, to design their own path toward a sustainable future. According to him, forums like the ISF should be a place for global south countries to exchange ideas, not as recipients, but as co-creators of solutions.
Indonesia and many other nations like us cannot and should not replicate strategies designed for countries whose development curves peaked a century ago. We must chart our own path to sustainability.
On that occasion, Agus Harimurti also emphasized that the sustainable development agenda must start from the most basic foundation of people's lives, namely food, water, and energy. He also highlighted the importance of simultaneously driving rapid efficiency and clean economic growth.
As of August 2025, Indonesia has sold more than 120,000 battery electric vehicles, reached roughly a 10% market share.
The ISF 2025 forums was attended by several ministers of the Merah Putih cabinet, ambassadors, business leaders, and international partners. The forum served as a strategic platform to strengthen collaboration between policymakers and industry players in realizing inclusive and equitable sustainable development for all Indonesian people. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
At the Indonesia International Sustainability Forum 2025, Indonesian business leaders declared the nation's ambition to spearhead the global shift towards clean energy. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, through its chairman, Anindya Bakri, announced a firm commitment to not just participate in, but actively lead the worldwide energy transition. Desi Anugranov has the details.
The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry affirmed Indonesia's commitment to becoming a leader in the global energy transition. This move also aimed to drive strong, sustainable, and inclusive economic growth. This was stated by the chairman of KADIN, Anindya Bakri, in his speech at the Indonesia International Sustainability Forum 2025 on Friday. Anindya emphasized that this effort is not just about reducing emissions, but also about securing Indonesia's economic future.
It is about securing Indonesia's economic future, ensuring that growth is strong, sustainable, and inclusive, with the right coalitions within the government, which very much supportive to the business and the global partners over here, we can unlock this future together. And Indonesia will not just participate in the global energy transition, we will lead it.
Furthermore, Anindya explained that to seize decarbonization opportunities worth $3.8 trillion, the Indonesian private sector must take a leading role in four key areas, namely the climate sector, capital, carbon market, and workforce skill development. Anindya affirmed that collaboration between the governments, the business world, and the international partners is key to ensuring Indonesia is not merely a part of the global change, but become a leader in the world's clean energy transition. Desi Anugranov, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Creative Economy, has launched Ekraf Hub as a step to strengthen the national creative economy sector. The platform is designed to be a collaborative space for creators and potential buyers, while also providing creative industry players with access to training. Ofra Regina has the full report.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Creative Economy, launched Ekraf Hub in Jakarta on Thursday. Ekraf Hub is an information application developed by the Ministry of Creative Economy to advance creative businesses in Indonesia. The Minister of Creative Economy, Tuku Rifki Harsya, explained that the launch signifies the government's effort to strengthen 17 creative economy sector based on art, designs, media, and digital technology. The platform serves as a collaborative space for creators and potential buyers across Indonesia. He hopes that Ekraf Hub will provide support in market access, skill development, and intellectual property registrations.
Sinilah dalam Ekraf Hub, selain ini merupakan database, tetapi juga tempat.
This is a database, but also a place for creators to collaborate with potential buyers. It's also where they can access the ministry's programs related to training and other initiatives. We hope Ekraf Hub becomes a platform that supports creative practitioners in Indonesia.
Yang membantu, ya membantu para pegiat Ekraf di Indonesia.
Meanwhile, the head of the Data and Information Center at the Ministry of Creative Economy, Resliana Dwitasari, stated that Ekraf Hub is also designed to be an incubator and accelerator for creative industry players. The platform will help them enhance their product quality to compete in the international market.
Dan kita sebagai Kementerian Ekonomi,
as the Ministry of Creative Economy, we function not only as an incubator but also as an accelerator to improve their products. Our hope is to elevate them to an international level. Resliana expressed her hope that Ekraf Hub will bridge innovations and businesses opportunities across sector. She is optimistic that the platform will accelerate digitalization and expand the national creative industries network of Regina Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman has announced an ambitious goal for the nation to achieve food self-sufficiency and halt rice imports within the next 3 months. The accelerated target comes directly from President Prabowo Subianto, who has pushed the original 4-year timeline down to just 1 year. This confidence is backed by official data showing a significant surge in domestic rice production, with Indonesia now ranked as the world's second largest producer. Anissa Audrita has the detail.
Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman on Thursday, October 9, 2025, expressed optimism about Indonesia achieving its food self-sufficiency target within the next 3 months. After attending a limited meeting with President Prabowo Subianto at the presidential place in Jakarta, he stated that the president had requested the acceleration of the food self-sufficiency target, originally set to be achieved in 4 years to 3 years. According to Amran, the president then moved this target forward again to 1 year.
Alhamdulillah, hari ini.
Hopefully there will be no obstacles that in the next 2 months, approximately 3 months, Indonesia will no longer import, and hopefully there will be no extreme weather. We will be self-sufficient.
Kita swasembada.
The Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, recorded that Indonesia experienced an increase in rice production and placed Indonesia as the world's second largest rice producer after Brazil. According to Amran, Indonesia's rice production has reached 33.1 million tons and is projected to reach 34 million tons by the end of this year, an increase from 30 million tons the previous year.
Alhamdulillah, sekarang sudah 3.
It is now 33.1 million tons, and next month, by the end of the year, it will be at least 34 million tons. This is good news for Indonesian farmers, so there is an increase of 4 million tons.
Kabar baik untuk petani Indonesia. Jadi ada peningkatan 4 juta ton.
Amran Sulaiman added that Indonesian government is currently accelerating the downstreaming of leading commodities such as cocoa, cashews, coconuts, and paper, whose production this year has reached 33 million tons, an increase from the previous year. He hoped these efforts can be expanded to all export raw materials, including crude palm oil, so that the entire production process can boost domestic economic growth. Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
We continue with the Indonesian government that established a special task force designed to fast-track key national projects. Finance Minister Purabaya Yudi Sadewa expressed confidence that these measures could help the country achieve a 7% growth target. Nur Kamila has the details.
Indonesia Finance Ministry Purabaya Yudi Sadewa on Tuesday affirmed the Indonesian government commitment to continuously accelerate the implementation of National Strategic Economy Program. At an economy forum held in Jakarta, Purabaya stated that through cross-ministry collaboration, the government has formed a priority economy development acceleration task force to speed it up and oversees the implementation of priority economy development program. This effort is meant to ensure this program run effectively, accountably, and have a positive impact on the community.
The coordinating minister for economic affairs and I, with several ministries, will create a task force for the acceleration of priority economic development for the priority economic development program.
Furthermore, Purabaya explained that the Priority Economy Development Acceleration Task Force will serve as a coordination platform for the government and business actor to properly overcome various obstacles in the file.
Tapi dalam satgas itu,
within this task force, a bottlenecking team will be created. This team will receive complaints from all business sectors across Indonesia.
Pengaduan dari seluruh pelaku bisnis di Indonesia.
Another step taken by the government is improving monetary and fiscal policy by constantly enhancing the growth of the private sector. According to Purabaya, if this effort can proceed without obstacle, he is optimistic that the 7% growth target can be easily achieved. Nur Kamila, Voice of Indonesia.
The chairman of the Honorary Council of the Indonesian Society of Respirologists, Chandra Yoga Aditama, on Friday emphasized the importance of global and national commitment to ending the tuberculosis epidemic. He stated the World Health Organization and various international organizations, such as the Stop TB Partnership Global, continue to strengthen cross-country collaboration through three main steps, namely commit, invest, and deliver. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, Chandra Yoga Aditama explained Indonesia has demonstrated a high level of commitment through the presidential decree on TB elimination. According to him, this program has also been established as one of the government's quick solutions, highlighting the importance of extending this commitment down to the regional level to ensure effective TB handling. Chandra also emphasized the need for adequate investment and resource support from the government to ensure the smooth operation of TB control program across Indonesia. Well, listener, now let's listen to the interview for the details.
Dear listeners, tuberculosis or TB remains one of the leading infectious diseases affecting millions of people worldwide, including in Indonesia. Despite continuous efforts, the country is still among those the highest TB burden, making the fight against this disease an important national and global concern. To share these insights on this issue, we are joined by Chairman of Honorary Council of Indonesian Society of Respirology of PDPI, Professor Dr. Chandra Yoga Aditama. Hello, Professor. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on Voice of Indonesia, Professor. So,
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, glad to have you here. Professor, Indonesia remains one of the countries with the highest tuberculosis burden in the world. What would you like to highlight in conjunction with this year's World Tuberculosis Day? What aspects do you think deserve more attention from the government?
So talking about the highest TB burden, based on the WHO Global TB Report 2025, which mentioned that there are several countries that WHO hold the highest TB burden in the world. So 25% of TB cases are in India, and 10% of TB cases globally are in Indonesia. So we could say that one of 10 TB patients globally is in Indonesia. That's number one. And we have to know that the TB bacilli, or the bacteria that cause TB, were already discovered in 1882, so almost more than 150 years ago. And the TB medicine, TB drugs, was also discovered around 1945 to 1950. So we know already the bacteria, we know already the treatment, but TB is still with us globally as well as Indonesia. And regarding the target, actually we have two targets, not two targets. I mean, for Indonesia, we have a presidential decree on 2021, which mentioned to eliminate TB in Indonesia by 2030. And there are specific, you know, criteria for that. A specific number have to be achieved. On the other hand, globally, on the SDG, Sustainable Development Goals, one of the goals is to stop the TB epidemic by 2030. And we know that now it's already 2025, as you mentioned. So we have a 5 years time to work very hard to achieve Indonesian target as well as the global target. By the way, because you mentioned about World TB Day, TB Day every year was inaugurated on 24th of March. And that is related with the one that I have said on 20 March 1882 that the TB bacilli was discovered and announced, I mean, published by scientists from Germany, Robert Koch, on 24th of March 1882.
Now about collaboration. Collaboration plays a key role in combating TB. How is Indonesia working with international organization and research institution to strengthen efforts in diagnosis, treatment, and prevention?
Okay, so before going to collaboration, since you mentioned about treatment, prevention, etc., so at least by WHO, there's at least 5 steps to be taken for TB control globally as well as in Indonesia. First, number one is prevention. Number two is screening. Number three is diagnosis. Number four is treatment. And number five is the specific occasion, specific situation. sorry, not specific obesity, but specific situation. So in terms of prevention, we all know that all of us are very familiar with COVID-19, and during COVID-19, we have a vaccine that are quite effective to at least reduce the spread of the pandemic. So if you're talking about prevention, people always thinking about vaccine. Unfortunately, we do not have a TB vaccine that are strong enough, capable enough to prevent infection, especially for adults. So if you're talking about prevention, so that's why now Indonesia and other countries, including also coordinated by WHO, are working very hard to find a new vaccine for prevention. Of course, the other aspect of important prevention is to treat the patient, because if we treat the patient, then the patient will not you know, transmit the disease to other people. That's number one, prevention and collaboration as well. Number two, about screening. So this is also important for us in Indonesia, because we have to screen not only TB patient themselves, but the one who already infected by TB bacilli but not having the disease. We call these people are as a TB latent. They are not having TB. They do not have any complaint whatsoever. But they have TB bacilli in them. If they are weakened by any other food, could wake up. So that's why we have to not only screen the TB patient to find them, treat them, but also we have to screen this TB latent and give them what we call a TB preventive treatment. And for this TB preventive treatment, in Indonesia, our coverage is still low. So we have to increase the coverage of TB preventive treatment. That's screening, that one that I said, number two. Number three is, of course, diagnosis. We are glad that we saw from the news that the detection now is quite high, and we hope that almost all of TB patients in the country could be detected. But then we have to go to number four, that is talking about treatment, because I can say useless if we find a TB cases but not treating them properly. So diagnosis and treatment should be in one go, should be in one, you know. If we find, detect patient, then we have to treat them until he or she are cured. That is, we have to do it in one go. And the last issue is what I said, a special situation. That for instance, there is TB and HIV, but since we are discussing this one now, just a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, WHO published a publication on the importance of nutrition on TB. Since we are talking on, you know, Radio Republik Indonesia, we know now the government have put TB as one of the quick win of our president. That's number one. But number two, there are also a national program of nutritional food to children. I know there is an issue of food poisoning, but that's not an issue. But one of the main goal of the nutritional food program is to give a good nutrition for the community, because this program will not only cover school, but later on will cover other community as well. So in this regard, I just want to say that the importance of nutrition just published by WHO a couple of days or a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully these two programs, you know, the quick win of TB elimination and the nutritional food can go in line, one by supporting the other. So we do hope that it will boost the TB program in our country.
How about TB cases that are remain undetected due to stigmas and the limited access to healthcare services? What steps are being taken to improve early detection and public awareness, especially in remote areas?
So there are two issues that you mentioned. One is TB cases not yet detected, but the other one, everybody in remote area,
yes,
etc. So I will give two kind of answer. Number one of the basic public health program globally, as well as hopefully in Indonesia as well, is what we call universal health coverage, UHC. Universal health coverage for any health problem, not only TB, means that everybody, no one left behind in that particular country, have to receive healthcare. And healthcare means four things: promotion, prevention, treatment, and also rehabilitation. So you're talking about health awareness, etc. So everybody in the whole country, even in remote area, should receive the promotion and prevention of any health problem, including TB as well. So if now there is still some limitation, we have to ensure everybody will receive that promotion. That's my one answer. The second is about TB itself. So very agree that TB is not only a clinical aspect per se, but there is also a stigma aspect. There is also a related with social, related with economy, related with environment, related with job vacancy, etc. Because of those stigma, that there is still people who are afraid to telling others that they have a chronic cough due to afraid label as TB, and it might not only the disease, but it might only affect his or her job. So we fully agree that we have to taking care the clinical or health aspect of TB, but also social as well stigma, etc. And one of this program is one of the effort of us. So I appreciate that the Republic of Indonesia making this interview to tell us that TB is a disease and TB can be cured. So you know, no need stigma for TB, because TB is an infectious disease like just the same like any other infectious diseases, and it can be cured because we already mentioned we already found the bacteria and we already found the treatment.
Finally, Professor, what message would you like to convey to the international community regarding Indonesia's commitment to ending TB and ensuring equal access to healthcare for all?
We can ask international, but we have to ask our national effort. That is the most important part. Yes. For international, we, as I mentioned earlier, that according to sustainable development goals, there is a goal to stop epidemic of TB by 2030. So there are a lot of activities being done now. I worked in WHO for 5 years as a director of communicable disease in Southeast Asia region of WHO. So I know TB is one of the priority of WHO. And there is also another organization globally by the name of Stop TB Partnership Global. And we have also Stop TB Partnership in Indonesia. We have Indonesian Association of Tuberculosis, etc. So globally, they have done something. Of course, WHO, what they do is to coordinate or give guideline and what to do. And in this the World TB Day 2025, they have advised 3 things. To be done for all countries, including globally, to taking care of TB. That is commit, invest and deliver. So we have to commit in all level, and we have to invest properly, and we have to deliver. I will close this one with these three items as well. Commit, invest and deliver for us in Indonesia. I already mentioned that we have a presidential decree, and we have also TB as equipment of the president. So commitment at central level is already very high. So that very good commitment of central level should be, you know, spread not only at central level, but also in provincial level, district level, and also, you know, sectoral level, because we already mentioned TB is not, it's not only health aspect, it should be related with several ministries and cross-sectoral. That's about commitment. About infect, we know that this TB program already, not already, will need a specific support fund, resources. So we do hope that Indonesian government will give support, financial support, as well as other resources support, that the TB program in the country could you know, run smoothly. And the third one is very important, it's delivered, because if there is a commitment already in all level, if there is financial support already, but if there is not deliver properly, so it will not have a good success. So commit in all level, invest properly, and deliver it in all level, especially in the field for treating, controlling TB in our country.
Thank you so much, Professor, for joining us today on this talk about TB. Don't forget all the three key areas that you just mentioned, that just mentioned by Professor. We all listeners, once again, thank you so much, Professor, for joining us today. Don't forget to stay tuned on another VOI talk on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia.
today's quote of the day. Patience has no limits. If there is a limit, it means you have no patience. That's a quote by Kiai Haji Abdurrahman Wahid, or familiarly known as Gus Dur, an Indonesian Muslim figure from the Nahdlatul Ulama. He served as the fourth president of the Republic of Indonesia from 1999 to 2001. And that's quote of the day.
Taranghawu Beach, which is located in Sukabumi, has a unique, exotic, and natural beauty. This beach is one of the famous beaches in Sukabumi, with the distinctive beauty of cliffs jutting into the sea. In addition, this beach has a mystical history that has been well known and recognized by the local residents. If you come to have a holidays in this location, you will be presented with a beautiful view, which is a soft stretch of sand with brownish colors, cool air, and big waves that hit the cliffs. All of those add to the charms of the beauty of this Karanghawu Beach. According to the story of the local people, this beach is named Karanghawu because there are holes in the cliffs or rocks so that it will look like a stove. Hawu, which in Sundanese means stove, so this beach is named Karanghawu. In addition, this beach is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliffs that jut into the sea is Nyai Roro Kidul's throne, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Karanghawu Beach. The view of the high seas onto the big waves hitting the rocks. It's a very beautiful scenery here. Uniquely, in this location, there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo, so you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach with the occasional play with the crashing waves, or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine, is a fun activity on this beach.
Semua ini yang tak terungkap dengan sejumlah kata, setulus hati sepenuh jiwa. Dirimu satu mimpiku, ku meraku dalam tatapanmu. Adakah hati di balik itu? Selalu di sini, ku tahu hanyalah dirimu yang mampu begitu melakukan semua inginku. Ku tahu semua rinduku punya hati satu, ku ingin miliki di.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
bagaikan bulan, walau berdinding kelam dan dingin, ku merangkai kata dari sebuah tanya, semua terbang terbawa angin.
Ku cemburu pada malam yang selalu
of Indonesia.
Are you on your way?
Yaelah Inggris, gue udah jalan, bentar lagi nyampe.
I have your location. You haven't even left.
Sering ku ngerasa kau buat ku putus asa.
Argumen berulang kok masih di sini aja. Ah.
Tiap hari Tom and Jerry sibuk kau sono sini.
Tak perlu over drama sih kau tahu ku takkan pergi.
Banyak beda bukan tak bisa bersama-sama.
Ya lagi.
Make it cry, swim and fight like we're enemies. You really know how to drive me crazy. That's just us, we make up, got a friend in me.
One, two, three,
four. You're my friend in me.
When it's bad, we pick off the pieces.
When it's good, we can love till the third is done. Yeah, it's us, we make up, got a friend in me.
One, two, three, four.
You're my friend in me.
I'm with you forever.
berlebihan sampai keluar air mata. You never learn,
I never learn. Maaf-maafan cuma pas lagi lebaran. Ya kenapa?
Ya gak apa sih. You won't believe the day I had.
Oh no, what happened this time?
I ate too much, now I look bad.
I'm sure you look fine.
Make you cry, scream and fight like we're enemies. You really know how to drive me crazy. That's just us, we make up, got a friend in me.
One, two, three,
go. You're my friend in me.
When it's bad, we pick all the pieces.
When it's good, we can love till it's good itself.
Yeah, it's us, we make up, got a friend in me.
One, two, three, go.
You're my friend in me.
Crazy. That's just us.
To make up, got a friend in me.
I'm sorry.
You're my friend in me.
When it's bad, we pick all the pieces.
When it's good, we can love till the sun is gone.
Yeah, it's us. To make up, got a friend in me.
Thank you for still joining us the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, a program that will take you closer to Indonesian art, culture, custom, food, tourist destinations, all on Indonesian Wonder.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Today's Indonesian Wonder, Miriam Faiza, listener, on a religious trip to Banyumas, Central Java, there is Saka Tunggal Baitusala Mosque, which we recommend for you to visit. The Saka Tunggal Baitusala Mosque is one of the oldest mosques in Central Java. One version of the history of its founding stated that this mosque was founded in 1288 AD. This means that this mosque was built before the Majapahit Kingdom emerged in 1293 AD. Geographically, the Saka Tunggal Mosque is in a valley flanked by hills in Cingkak Village, Wangon District, Banyumas Regency. Listeners, the Saka Tunggal Mosque measures around 12 by 18 meters and uses a lot of wooden materials. The roof is made of palm fiber. This mosque was named Saka Tunggal because it has a single pillar. This pillar is in the middle of the mosque building with four wings in the middle. This makes it look like a totem. Meanwhile, the bottom of the support pillar is protected by glass to protect the part that contains script that mention when the mosque was founded. The four wings attached to the saka or pillar symbolize the papat kiblat lima panca, or the four cardinal points which symbolize fire, wind, water, and earth. Saka Tunggal also symbolizes that living people must be like Alif, the first letter in Arabic, which is straight, not crooked, not naughty, not lie. Not only that, the four directions means that human life must be balanced. Listener, the Sagatunggal Mosque also has its own charm. The Imam of the mosque does not wear thread covering that is commonly used in Indonesia, which usually is a cap, skull cap, but rather uses an udang or head tie. The uniqueness of this mosque is also felt in the religious traditionalism of the people worshipping in it. Every congregational prayer is always preceded by praise or uro-uro, which is sung like a Javanese hymn. The Sagatunggal Baitul Salam Mosque still maintains the tradition of not using loudspeakers. The sound of the call to prayer sung by four muezzins at once still sound very loud and melodious from this mosque. And that's Indonesian Wonder.
In a very general sense, mother tongue is someone's native language or the first language of someone. It is commonly the first language that is taught by parents to their children, or a language that is used mostly in a family. In the broader sense, especially if we associate it with Indonesian linguistic perspective, the mother tongue is the regional language or local languages itself. Because in Indonesia, mother tongue in the most family is the regional language. So if we talk about the mother tongue here, we talk about the regional language. The trend is nowadays seem to be going the opposite. In more and more family use Indonesian as their native language. So your mother tongue is Indonesian, of course.
Although apparently, ideally, my mother tongue should be Nias language, right?
Oh,
Thank you for still joining us, the English service of Voice of Indonesia that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and shortwave frequency 3325 in 4755 kHz. Listener, next we present a program that allows you to learn Indonesian language. It's only on Let's Speak Indonesia.
Hello everyone, my name is Ray, and today we're going to learn about the Indonesian alphabet. Let's begin. C. 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 Which can be used for cicak, chocolate, celana. Let's continue. D. 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 Which can be used for danau, dodol, desa. That's it for now, and see you in another episode.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from West Papua entitled A Mambo Simbo. The song A Mambo Simbo is a song of joy. The beat of percussion instruments, voices clashing with each other, and the sound of the orchestra bring a joyful atmosphere. The song A Mambo Simbo is very simple with repetitive lyrics. A Mambo Simbo tells the story of the joy of a meeting a father with his son named Mambo, who was previously lost. The father went in and out of the village looking for his child until he found him in the middle of the forest. This meeting is then celebrated joyfully with dancing and singing. When hearing the song A Mambo Simbo, invites those who listen to join in the atmosphere of joy. Here is A Mambo Simbo, sung by Edo Kondologit, accompanied by Erwin Gutawa Orchestra. Enjoy the song.
Ya 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 eh eh mambo ya ya eh mambo ya 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 eh eh mambo ya ya eh